You are listening to The JP Show,
where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G.
And I am Rabbi Levi.
And we hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The JP Show. We're recording on a day where the world is a bit tense. Things are happening throughout the world, particularly in Israel. Rabbi Levi, are you feeling it?
Definitely. Yeah, for sure. A lot of uncertainty. No one really knows what's going to happen. So it's for sure, it's a little scary.
Yeah, it is. Otherwise, how things, besides the world, how things in your own personal world? What's that?
My personal world is great.
That's good.
Thank God.
Excellent. Today's also, for those that are not aware of the Jewish calendar, today's, when we're recording, is Rosh Chodesh Av, first day of the month of Av, beginning what we call the 9 days, the period of mourning for the destruction of both temples that were destroyed in Jerusalem close to 2,000 years ago. So we're in interesting times.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about today?
Let's talk about the world, or maybe that will lead us back to us, but... Yeah. So the world, I mean, I think probably people have been saying this for a while, but the world definitely seems like it's falling apart. There isn't really good news anywhere you look. We don't get political here, so this is not political, the statement, but if you look at America, let's just say the least, the elections is not your normal situation there. It's definitely... tense and hectic
on either front. We're not
getting this is not exactly that wasn't a political statement. It's just it just seems to be crazy. England, there's riots going on there, of course, with Israel and Iran.
Yes.
And yeah, France. It just seems to be one big mess. So let's start with a general question. Like, how are we supposed to look at this? Like, this seems to be like. It's just like chaos everywhere you look.
On that morbid note, yes, it seems very chaotic. But I think, and I think this is where it comes in, where I almost feel for people who don't have a God in their life and don't have sort of deep values and a direction of living by a certain set of values, because if you don't have that, then all you're left with is chaos, right?
Mm.
Uncertainty. And it's sort of a doom and gloom kind of almost prognosis. That's what it seems like, right? But I think in from the Jewish perspective, while not to take away from the uncertainty that we're experiencing and the tension, for example, that is felt now in Israel and all that kind of stuff, fundamentally, we have a focus. We have a goal. You know, it's a bit like the Jews coming out of Egypt, and they suddenly come to the Red Sea and they get trapped, right? And there's chaos. In fact, the Midrash says there's four different groups, and they will argue with each other. What's the best thing to do? Should we fight Egypt? Should we surrender? Should we jump into the sea? Whatever, all this kind of stuff, right?
Mm.
Desperation, giving up. Maybe some people say maybe we should pray. You know, kind of as a last resort, you know, if you know, all else fails, let's pray, right? But, and God says to Moses, tell the Jewish people just to go, to move forward, because they know where they're going. They know the destination is. The destination is going to happen. They are going to arrive at Mount Sinai and they're going to get the Torah. So there's a goal, there's a focus. Not, it doesn't take away from the chaos that we're experiencing now, but it does give us a certain future. We know it's going to be okay. We know we're going to get where we need to get to.
Right. What you're saying actually just brought a story to mind, which I think is related.
Okay.
I wonder if we mentioned it on the podcast before, but anyway, sorry if we did. The previous Rebbe was imprisoned in communist Russia. His name was Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok Schneerson. And because he was spreading Yiddishkeit there, and they didn't like that, obviously. And he was very bold there, and he says not being scared of anything what happens there, and then whatever. And they tried to scare him, so they took out a gun. Someone took out a gun and said, "This toy makes a lot of people talk." And he said that he answered them that this toy makes people talk who have many gods in one world, but someone who has one god in two worlds is not scared of such a toy. So obviously, on a simple level, I think what he meant was like, even if you, God forbid, shoot me and I'm dead, but as Jews, we believe that we never disappear, right? We have a world to come. Our soul's eternal. But I think maybe he meant something deeper. He meant like in general. In other words, our world is not just the world we see. It's not just the physical reality that we live in. We live with a different world. We live with something bigger. There's a plan. There's spiritual experiences. We have a soul. There's something a lot bigger than the mess that we see in front of us. I think maybe that's perhaps a deeper. And therefore, like, yeah, obviously there's things happening, but it's not catastrophic.
Correct. And that's what we have to bear in mind. That's the it's hard. It's hard because people are very, very unsettled. But we have an anchor. I think that's what it is. We have an anchor. And the anchor is what we fundamentally believe, where the world is going, what's going to happen at the end. And we have to anchor ourselves in strongly now.
Yeah, for
And I
sure.
think it's like what we've said many times, that in times like this, people's feel often that their faith is weakening. It really should be the opposite. It's a time when nothing makes sense, where your faith has to strengthen, because faith transcends logic. It's about believing in something that is deeper, that is transcendent, that is beyond the rationale.
Yeah, absolutely. It's right with the we have to dig deeper. How do you think we should our perspective should be in terms of like, should we expect a miracle, or do we believe like, something miraculous is about to happen that's going to solve all the problems? Should we be a little bit more pessimistic and say, yeah, I mean, obviously eventually it'll work out, but there might be, a horrific cost to it. Like, I mean, obviously we don't know what's going to happen. What should be our attitude?
So, there's a saying that is mentioned many places, that even when you talk about something you know is going to happen and you know is going to eventuate, but we always pray that it should be what we call the chesed uberachamim. It should be with great kindness, with great compassion that God will show us. Meaning like this: our job is always to daven and to pray for a revealed, good in a revealed sense, outcome, right? So do we want a miracle? Yes. Can God make miracles? Of course. I mean, it's happened before in ancient history, and it's happened before in modern history. And Entebbe was an amazing a miraculous outcome, a 6-day war, although it also came at a cost, but it was a phenomenal, miraculous event. And we need that to happen now. Now, so that's the thing. That's where, in other words, this is the balance, right? We have to anchor ourselves. We have to have faith. We have to believe that everything's going to turn out okay. That doesn't mean we should be less urgent. It just means we should be less panicky. But with the urgency is still there. The urgency is to daven that it should happen quickly, it should happen decisively, and it should happen smoothly, without, or at a very minimal, or without any tremendous cost. I think that's where our focus should be. And that comes, that's why we spring into action and we say Tehillim and we say psalms and we pray and we do an extra mitzvah, not because we're uncertain of the outcome. We're not. We have trust. We have trust in God. We have faith. Ultimately, it's going to be okay. Israel's there to stay. The Jewish people are here to stay. We are in days where we mourn the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, the temple. We fundamentally believe that there will be a third temple. All that's going to happen, but we still spring into action because we want it to happen soon. We want it to happen decisively. We want it to happen smoothly. Without any more sacrifice, without any more costs.
What do you think about this all happening during the 3 weeks, during this time of mourning? It's like sort of a, it's like a, it's almost a scary time, right? We're told it's obviously not a very good time for the Jewish people because both temples were destroyed at the same time, and all the other calamities, including the Spanish expulsion, happened on the 9th of Av, and
Spanish
just things.
Inquisition, expulsion,
Yeah, terrible things
there was
happened
an
on.
expulsion in England that happened at Tisha B'Av, the First World War, which is a prelude to the Second World War,
Yeah.
broke out on Tisha B'Av, the Warsaw Ghetto fell on it, lots.
Yeah. Doesn't seem like a very opportune time.
Yeah, but our sages also tell us that that's only now, that's on a superficial level. But actually, we have a tradition that when Mashiach eventually comes, it's actually going to be a day of great celebration, because it's a time of tremendous energy. Unfortunately, it has a certain negative leaning, and therefore throughout Jewish history, yes, there's been sort of, you know, chaos during this time, but we're getting closer to the time where hopefully the true depth and the true positivity of this time will emerge.
Yeah. Let me just pivot this conversation to something a little bit different. I mean, it's connected. We mentioned this before, but part of the chaos, I think, I think this is relatively new. Maybe I'm just young. I don't know, but maybe I don't know what happened before I was born. But part of the chaos we see in the world today is political chaos, and a lot of that is, you know, obviously people pay very you know a lot of attention to the elections in America, which are happening soon, and all of that. And it just seems to have descended into, again, I'm not being any specific side here, but it just seems to have descended into very childish arguments and name calling and just very, yeah. And how do we deal with that? And especially like our children, like if this is the way our, you know, the leaders of the world are behaving. You know, what I'm trying to say is there's a lot of moral chaos, and besides for the physical stuff going on, and part of the moral chaos is like there's just no like norms anymore. There's no boundaries anymore. People just say anything, anytime, anywhere, and it's just like, and we're trying to bring up our kids in such a world. It's a little bit difficult.
Yeah, it is problematic, and the world is in moral decline. There's no question about it.
On all levels. Yeah.
On many levels, there's a lack of purpose. There's a lack of focus on something higher. It's a very egocentric world. And there's certainly, I mean, the discourse, the political discourse has just descended into complete disrespect and chaotic rhetoric and just crazy on all sides. It's really, really a problem. But I think this is what we need to do. I think this is what we need to understand. We have to come back to a very fundamental principle, and that is the power of the individual. In other words, sometimes we spend too much time philosophizing about the world, worrying about the world and how this world, oy gewalt and oy vey, and how's this world going to turn out and look what's going on, etc., etc. We also know that the, you know, in Jewish tradition, we call the person an olam katan, a small world. Each one of us is an entire world. And we never know what can tip the scale. Like, you know, the Rambam talks about this, as we know, that a person should always look at himself and the world, if the world is in balance, and he could tip the scale by one little thing, right? So if we look at the world and we see a world that's full of disrespect, we should create a family that's very respectful. We should work on ourselves being more respectful. We should work on ourselves being more unified. If we look at a world that's completely empty and void of meaning and purpose, we should make sure and reflect on our own meaning and purpose and make sure it's strong, right? We have an amazing ability, and this I think sometimes gets missed and misunderstood, that what we do makes a difference, right? What we do really makes a difference. We see this in the negative. Sometimes, you know, one thing can send people into chaos. So every good thing we do, every effort that we make makes a tremendous difference. You ask about your children, we create our own environment. We create a family environment that is full of meaning, that is full of respect, that is full of calmness and so on and so forth, right? So I think maybe that's the message. We need to, when we look at the world, we need to stop agonizing and building up anxiety of what's happening in the world. Instead, we need to ask ourselves, okay, it's going to be okay, but what do I urgently need to do? And what I need to do is got nothing to do with whether I think it's going to solve the world's problems. We're not members of the Mossad, and we're not members of, we're not political leaders. We're not going to make much of a difference other than keep on looking at the news sites and getting upset. But we can make a difference. And that's what we have to do. We have to spring into action. More prayer, more mitzvahs, more good things, more generosity, more respect, more humanity, just more living properly. You know what I'm saying? That kind of thing.
Yeah. Is it possible to shield children from what's happening? Is everything so open that it's just impossible to hide it? Is it possible to create a home where children just growing up in sort of a peaceful atmosphere, and then just don't realize that the whole world is
being honest, I don't think it's possible. I think I heard once from who it was. He said, "You can't insulate anymore, but you can inoculate."
Right.
So we have to deal with it. I mean, our children are growing up in this world, but we have to constantly talk about what really matters. You know, people don't often understand the power of the home, and together with the power of the individual. So we need to inoculate. We're not going to protect them. The world is a crazy world they're living in, but not going to drink anyone, but we can strengthen ourselves. We can strengthen by bringing in a very emphasizing, strong way these values and these discussions and faith and trust in Hashem and all these things that we can build an environment and we can discuss it, that we need to, you know, I think one of the things I always tell you as a child is go back to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu didn't worry about the whole world, right? Our forefather, the founder of, you could say the founder of Judaism, as we know, so to speak, is Avraham Avinu, right? He fought an entire culture. Echad Haya Avraham, that's what our rabbis tell us. He was one person against the whole world. And look what he did. He built this amazing nation, right? He was the father of this amazing nation. So you can't fight it. You can bring in strength and you can inoculate, you can protect people, you can strengthen people, notwithstanding what's going on.
Right. Give an example of that. Like, how are you going to... How do you inoculate your children? Like, what do you have to do?
By, at the risk of sounding elitist, but by, you know, by creating a haven in the home, and when it comes up, to draw that distinction, I think, to say, yeah, this is happening, but that's not right. And it doesn't matter if the child knows that, but what do you mean? That's most of the world. What do you mean it's not right? So, okay, you know, in our little apartment, we'll do something different. But no, that need to know. That doesn't matter. You don't need to. So it's not a numbers game. You create, you recognize what's happening and you say, no, this is not how we live our life. We live our life differently. We live our life with higher morals, with higher ethics, with higher purpose.
I think it's a very important point, actually, the idea that, like, it's not right actually has very little to do with how many people are doing it. I think today we live in a culture, like, because of social media and everything, like, whatever the trend is, that becomes now the in thing, and everyone has to think one way, and that's it. Like, actually, it's actually not like that.
Right. And we need to know that ourselves also. Sometimes it's very demoralizing. Think, like, what's the point? Like, I'm fighting the universe here, right?
Mm.
But the answer is that good prevails, ultimately. It will prevail. Right will prevail over wrong. And doesn't matter if it's minorities. It doesn't matter if you're just one person. Avraham Avinu was one person. Abraham was one individual. So that's the message for ourselves. It's the message for our children. It's the message we have to spread. And we have to spring into action. The more darkness, the more light we have to bring. And we know about light, that this is the famous saying, right? You can have a very, very dark room. It can be a very dark room, but you can light one candle and you can see.
Mm.
A little bit of light pushes away a tremendous amount of darkness.
So we have to increase in light.
The Baba Shereba was very interested. The power of one mitzvah, the power of one candle, the power of one little good deed.
Mm.
Right? It's infinite.
Yeah. I think especially now, in the next few days, I think we'll have to wake up a little bit, I think. I think also become so used to, like, it's almost like, it's like normal now, you know, someone's about to attack Israel, but that shouldn't be normal. That should be...
And also, people are tired. You know, I was thinking about this morning, it reminds me a little bit of, you know, sometimes you can do it once, but then the second time it's very hard. So, like,
yeah.
I remember when we went into lockdown the first time in COVID, right? You know, all gung-ho, we're going to make it happen, we're going to make it work, we're going to go on Zoom, we're going to... And then we came out of it and then we went back into it. And that was very hard. I found that very hard. Much harder than the first time.
Mm.
So, you know, God forbid, it's not going to happen a second, you know, we're not going to have a second 7th of October, God forbid, but it is a tense time and we need to wake up.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't be in despair. We shouldn't be dejected. We shouldn't be depressed, but we shouldn't be complacent either. That's correct. You're 100% right with that.
Yeah.
We've got to spring into action and do what we can.
More light, more mitzvot, more good things. Yeah. That's the way to do it. All right. Excellent, everyone.
So, next time we meet, it's going to be really good news.
Please God. Amen.
See you next time. Thank you, everyone.